Could the White House just erase the debt of storm-ravaged Puerto Rico? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, that was power sloshing back and forth at the big board meeting for the car service Uber on Tuesday. In the end, the co-founder Travis Kalanick found himself with less influence. He had already been ousted as CEO in June amid multiple controversies at the firm. Also, it emerged Uber now plans to go from private to public sometime in 2019. Watching this is Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. I asked if even companies beyond Uber will draw lessons from this.
I think they will, because nobody wants to go through what Uber and its investors just went through. I think they're going to look at younger founders, first-time founders, and look for a track record of maturity, of good judgment. They're going to be leery to give control to somebody who shows any signs of semi-sociopathic middle school behavior.
And perhaps the biggest news here is that now Uber, a privately held $70 billion company, would like to sell stock to the public for the first time. An IPO would be massive, and they're talking about the year 2019.
2019 sounds like it's a long ways away, but not for doing an IPO. It takes many months to prepare for a clean IPO. But remember, we're talking about Uber. We're talking about lots of problems that have to be fixed before the IPO. Uber has to win the trust of its drivers. It has to resolve this big lawsuit with Waymo. It has government investigations. And it has to change its culture. And it's hard to fix a culture quickly.
All right, 2019, the deadline. Eric Gordon at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
White House Chief Economic Advisor Gary Cohn used to be a favorite to take over Janet Yellen's job as Federal Reserve Chair. That was before Cohn fell out with President Trump over Trump's reaction to Charlottesville. Now a new name has emerged, Kevin Warsh, who is quite the Fed critic. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
The Federal Reserve will likely look a lot different come early next year. President Trump has four chairs to fill. He says he admires Yellen, and it would break historical precedent if he didn't reappoint her. But
things are very different in the Trump administration.
Josh Bivens is director of research at the Economic Policy Institute. He says Warsh has aimed his criticism specifically at Yellen because he's thinking,
I want to present myself as the anti-Yellen to make it easy for them, and I feel like that's part of what's going on.
In January, Warsh wrote an op-ed outlining five ways he would fix the Fed. He's got a strong resume. He was an economic advisor to President George W. Bush and served as the youngest Fed governor ever. But what about his policy stance? Ken Matheny is with Macroeconomic Advisors.
He has espoused rolling back some regulation, reducing the amount of discretion by regulators and bank supervisors and so forth, sorts of policies that are probably going to be received well in the administration.
Oh, and Warsh's wife is the granddaughter of Estee Lauder. Her father, Ronald Lauder, is a longtime close friend of Trump. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Weeks after that hurricane hit Puerto Rico, only 7% of residents have power and less than half have access to drinking water. Rebuilding will be complicated by the U.S. territory's pile of debt. President Trump visited Puerto Rico yesterday, and among the things he said to Fox News was this.
We have to look at their whole debt structure. You know, they owe a lot of money to your friends on Wall Street, and we're going to have to wipe that out. That's going to have to be, you can say goodbye to that. I don't know if it's Goldman Sachs, but whoever it is, you can wave goodbye to that.
Puerto Rico's $73 billion of debt. Let's hear that again for the benefit of both Puerto Rican residents and the people to whom that debt is owed.
You can say goodbye to that.
Let's bring in Kate Long, founder of Puerto Rico Clearinghouse, which researches the debt of the U.S. territory. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
So who owns this debt the president of the United States is proposing to wipe out? He says he doesn't know if it's Wall Street giant Goldman Sachs. Who is it?
Goldman owns some of this debt, but these are municipal bonds, and about 75% of Puerto Rico's debt end owners are retail investors. And then the other 25% would be hedge funds.
Retail investors, regular folks, in a sense.
Yeah, there's at least 500,000 retail investors who own this debt.
How big is this debt burden? We've used figures like 70-something billion.
The General Accounting Office issued a report on Monday that says the Puerto Rican debt is about 66% of their GDP, which is, you know, by most standards, not that high, but their economy is not very efficient. So it's a difficult thing for them to service that debt.
I got to ask you something, Kate. Wipe out the debt, the president says. Is that an executive branch federal thing, debt wiping out?
So that's an opening negotiation stance on the part of the president telling bondholders that he plans to, you know, use the full weight of the law to reduce this debt as much as possible. But all debt reduction is governed by federal law, and bondholders have rights to protect their property. Bonds are property, the contracts that underlie them. And so this will be a negotiated process, most likely over a period of months, maybe up to a year, between the White House and bondholders to come to some kind of resolution that works for everybody.
Kate Long is founder of a research service on Puerto Rican debt called Puerto Rico Clearinghouse. Ms. Long, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Already beleaguered Puerto Rican bonds fell sharply after the president's comments yesterday. Bloomberg reports bonds due in the year 2035 fell from 44 cents on the dollar to 32 cents. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.